Welcome back to the Crease Dive Podcast. Today is Thursday, April 8th in the year 2024. My name is Dukes. I'm joined as always by the great Matthew Nestler. Nest, how's it going?
Going well, Dukes. Halfway through the week. Excited for some more lacrosse to be on this weekend. Thought we had a good showing last weekend. Just sort of chugging along day by day. Can't wait for it to be May. I love some playoff lacrosse. I love the tournament. Love seeing teams sneak in with conference bids. We're almost there. We're getting to the end, which is the best part. I don't want it to end, but the end is the best. So we're getting there. How about yourself? How you feeling? How's everything?
Good. I feel like I had a pretty good week gambling on the games from what I took. I think that overall is a great weekend for lacrosse. This is the time of year you want to start. You want to play your best ball in May. This is when you want to start playing your best ball. This is when you want to start to podcast the best you can. So I'm locked in. I'm locked and loaded. I'm Davis Clark locked in, shitting my pants at the Boston Marathon. I am laser focused. I don't know if you caught that guy.
Great. Did you catch that guy? One of the craziest videos I've ever seen in my entire life. I mean, I've seen that guy, and I don't know what his shtick is. It seems like it's working, but that video was preposterous. It was out of this world, and when he just like goes down to his legs, he's just covered in shit. And I respect it. He was running hard, so tip my cap to that guy. He went mega viral.
Yeah, I don't even think it's a bit, because I know like now I'm like preparing for like the marathons and shit, and they always talk about like, I guess if you do like long distance running, like you're more susceptible to like shit your pants. Now I've never shit my pants when running, but I've seen. Let me just show. So for anybody that doesn't know, there's this guy who's like a Tony P in DC character. Like, I'd say like another side of Tony P. He's like, his whole thing is being locked in, laser focused. He's fucking like, I don't even know. He's hilarious. Like, I think it's one of those things you just either get or you don't. And a bunch of people do get it. He's been viral, and he just ran the Boston Marathon, and he shit in his pants. Let me pull up the video. Actually, the video is so goddamn funny. I don't know if you guys will be able to hear it or not, but here, let me just pull that up. It's so funny.
See everything I have for the people. 256. I share my pants like crazy. I'm going after it all day, every day for the people. 2 hours, 56 minutes, man, people.
Were you able to hear that?
Yeah, I could hear it on my end.
All right, let me just say, for anybody, it's just, I can't even tell if that's shit or not. Like, I want to be that locked in at the beer garden all summer long where I'm just shitting my pants. Like, I don't even have time to go to the bathroom. Like, it's just, I'm so locked in on just guzzling beers that, like, I don't even have time to think about shitting. Like, I just do it right there. But shout out to him. Shout out to him. Shout out to Davis Clark. But speaking of locked in, let's lock into these games. Let's start talking about these games. I don't really want to die. I want to get into the Sunday games last. I think those were probably the most exciting games of the weekend. I think it's only fair that I have to swallow some pride and admit when I'm wrong. Syracuse didn't cover.
Yeah, I mean, it was 3-0 UNC. Thought a cover was – I was on Syracuse as well. Thought a cover was very far away from happening. And then Syracuse goes on a 10-1 run. 10-4, fourth quarter, I think, maybe – End of third. And I mean, UNC just kind of for one quarter just took it to Cuse again. They did a game of two massive runs, and they didn't come close to covering. You could feel it happening. Once it was 10-7, I was like, this just, I didn't think it was going to be 10-9.
I disagree with you to an extent.
What do you got?
I think that Syracuse clearly, like, they were not a team. So you could tell there's some opportunities that they had, like, 4-on-3 breaks, and they just decided to hold up. Like, they weren't playing for the cover. They weren't playing to, like, try to, like, get early goals early in the shot clock. They were a team that was like, let's use the shot clock. Let's limit UNC's possessions, which I think is smart to win the game. Now, will I have that in my mind now that Syracuse isn't, like, they're not for the cover? Yeah. I don't think they're FTC. I think that they – that was a little pansy shit from like a gambling perspective. The smart decision was probably to do what they did, but I didn't know if you kind of noticed that as well. In the fourth quarter, I mean, they just didn't go. Like, they had some opportunities, but again, it was like late in the shot clock. Like, there's I can vividly remember like the ball being on the camera side of the field when Syracuse gets it, like after like riding and getting back in possession, and they could have pushed, but they decided to hold up. But interested to hear.
Yeah, too. I mean, I hear what you're saying. I think, you know, that can be a good strategy, but at what point are you like, begging to have a team just UNC scores one more goal? Now all of a sudden you're knotted up with no momentum. You know, I don't even think, don't get me wrong, I will be keeping that as mine as well. But I just think at a certain point they took their foot off the gas too much. I mean, if a team like UNC can go on a run like that against Cuse, who is, you know, in my opinion, has like one of the best defenses they've had in a while, you know, like just like overall with Will Mark, you know, holding it down the back. You can't put yourself out there as a team that can give up a 6-goal run, a 5-goal run to anyone. I mean, it's just, that's the beauty of lacrosse. It can flip like that. Luckily, it worked out for them. They won. But yeah, I mean, I guess they can't knock them too much. They won the game. That's all that matters. But at a certain point, you got to be like, shit, we're up 6 goals and we won by 1 and didn't score a goal for almost 20 minutes. So
yeah, I agree with that. I think that like it's like in football when you like, when you start calling plays scared, it's like you don't want to play too conservative, take yourself out of like what's working for you. Now I will say, like, I think that just like that strategy has worked for Syracuse. So you shouldn't go away from like what's been working for them. They should stick to, which I think that's what they've been doing for a majority of the season. Like, it doesn't seem like they're like too much of like, I consider Cornell right now a little bit of like a run and gun team.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't say like, I think Syracuse could do that if they want, but like they can have like, they have the versatility, but it seems like they're playing a little bit more conservative on both ends of the field. Like, very efficient offensively when they like, but I don't know. I think their defense is really good. I think that like, that's like separates them from like the years that they were struggling. But again, overall impressed by Syracuse. It's just fascinating to me with like the young talent that UNC has in that freshman class, like Petromala, Owen Duffy. I think Owen Duffy's a stud. Like, it's just going to be very intriguing. I think Nest is the word. Very intriguing to see what they can do when they get a new head coach next year. Like, will they hit the portal? Will they stay with the new coach? That's just one thing I'm looking out for now. But I'm done with the brushy slander for now. It's like clearly the talent's there. That like, that's why the most frustrating part is like the talent. It's not like they know like, aren't bringing in studs. Like, they have studs. So
yeah, I'm with you. I mean, I agree with you. I think that Owen Duffy kid is he's going to be like, if he's not already up there with the top kids in the country, he's going to be there. He's every time I looked at the UNC game, he was scoring or doing something. He also just looks like a grown man. Like him being a freshman, you would never, if you just like looked at UNC play, you'd be like, there's no way that kid's a freshman. I mean, he's a grown man out there. So shout out to Duffy. Would tell you to transfer to Cabrini, but you can't. So stay at UNC.
Yeah, and I like, again, I said this in the beginning of the season, but like, I need to have Colin Krieg's got to be in like the PLL conversation as a goalie. I don't know if he's a grad student or he has like one more year or next year, but I would firmly put him on as like one of the best goalies that I've seen, and I just think that like, if he was on any different team in the ACC that's been like thriving the last couple of years, he'd be right there with Entman, in my opinion. So I just think that him being on UNC has almost hurt his draft stock, because he was a big name when he had like Will Perry and all them when they made the Final Four run, and then in the years that they dipped. And I don't think it's necessarily his fault. I think that he's kind of the product of bad product, I guess, on the field. But yeah, that's talking Syracuse UNC. Hopefully it was a good game. I will give them that. They gave me a sweat. North Carolina fans, you had me nervous. You had me in the second half, not gonna lie. Let's see what else we're gonna talk. I watched Penn Harvard. That turned into an exciting fourth quarter game. I know Harvard tied it at 12, and then Penn ran away with it. Not ran away with it, but they took a 2-goal lead, and Harvard had the chance to like make it a 1-goal game with a minute left. There was a controversial off the pipe goal. It was no goal. Wasn't controversial, but I think the play of the game. Did you see that save?
Yeah, I love it. I love a good hustle play. It's my only knock with it is like the game was kind of over, and I respect it. It's just, it would have been fucking awesome if that had happened in like the third quarter when they were kind of battling. At that point, it was kind of like a wash.
I completely disagree with that.
I love it. Here we go. Let's get it.
Like, what, that Because this, they were only down. Harvard was only down two at this point, and after this, this save led to the off the pipe. Like they had, an opportunity to go down one with a minute to go.
Yeah,
like if that goal transferred, like it's not like it was like a 3-goal game, like 20 seconds to go.
Okay,
like,
you're right.
That led to a very controversial spot. And I hate saying the word controversial, but I can't stop. It's in my head. Controversial. Like it was. All like the it had to be reviewed by refs. The refs had to review the goal, so that's why it's controversial in my head. But
all right, yeah, I digress. Right,
it led to an opportunity. Yeah,
fair. But no, that was nasty. I'm like the biggest fan of hustle. That's just
pure are hustle. You?
Yeah. That's my whole brand hustle.
Because I sent the tweet off Barstool Sports is for the crease time. I sent that tweet out. And I just want to. When I saw you said like big for the brand, I would think that I said save the year isn't from even from a goalie. I think that you're taking the stance like, well, you got to look at the goalie product. You're taking like you're offended that the goalie didn't make the save of the year.
No, I said big for the brand. I was all over it. I love that. I don't think I think it's up there for save of the year. I think my biggest knock was that it was late. Maybe I thought it was later than it was.
But I mean, if you're also scoreboard watching a little bit, like if you like, you know, there's a lot of games to watch, and if you're running around on a Saturday,
I was trying to see that I was going back forth between Cuse and that game.
Right.
And I was trying to win both Harvard. I had money line. Shout out to DraftKings. Yeah, Cuse had to cover, so it was like a flip flop.
I was too.
I did see it, but no, I like that you fired off that tweet. That was huge. I mean, there's nothing that makes me happier than when. The monster that is Barstool and their official Twitter account or official Instagram account does anything lacrosse related, does anything Dukes related. It's just brings a big smile to my face. And so I had to hop in there, but I thought you were about to tell me I didn't interact with it or like snubbed it or something. I was like, no, I was on it. I was all over it.
Yeah. I was just like, you're probably like, oh, like bad for the goalie product. Entman's on the hot seat. Well, Well, this guy would be number one off the board.
Yeah, I'm not that much of a goalie dick rider. I love the tendies, but I feel like I'm a straight shooter. I'm obviously biased. I love goalies more than you do, which is fine. I'll be the goalie lover, but I don't think I'm a goalie dick rider. I think that's where we draw the line between love and being a dick rider.
I love it. I'm giving you shit. Going around, speaking of teams, you know what? Fuck, I meant to get Larkin on Jordy with Jordy. I know Jordy might be coming on soon, but Brown upsets Princeton 13-12. I feel like we gotta give him a little bit of shout out.
Yeah, I mean, we said it earlier. I think when they were 1-6, potentially the best 1-6 team in the history of lacrosse. They're good. Brown fights. I think it's. Like, Brown's a team that's just going to recruit, like, good players. Like, there's talent on Brown. Just a rough year for them. Love to see him go get a gritty win. Love that they're still fighting. I don't know how the conference tournaments work out. I know some conferences, like, everyone makes it. I know some conferences, like, a sliver of them make it. So I don't know how the Ivy League tournament works. I don't know if they'll get a shot to play in that. If they do, I think the Ivy is legitimately the most up for grabs conference in the arguably the history of lacrosse. It is insane how many teams could just go on. It's you need to win 3 or 4 games, and all of a sudden you're dancing in the tournament.
I have no idea. I have no idea who's good and who's not good. Like, I'm so blinded by Harvard. Like Sam, but Sam King is so good.
Yeah, you've pushed that Sam King train pretty far.
I think he's all like he's so good that he's altering my brain on how good Harvard actually is.
No, I think you've been pretty good on Harvard's been really good. I don't think that's like a like placebo effect, if that's even the right use of that word.
Yeah, but it's like who's good and who's not. Like I think that like because again in lacrosse it's so weird like. Yeah, like if you're top 20, you're good. But are you good? Do you know what I'm trying to say? Like, are you good, or are you just good?
Like, is a team in the Ivy that's not in the top 20 better than like Sacred Heart? Like
15-20? Like, yeah, That's some Sacred Hearts. That was some Sacred Heart slander right there. But yeah, like, would Brown beat Sacred Heart? Yeah, every day of the week. I am so confident in that. Like, and honestly, if they're not, like, no, I'm joking. But like, no. But Hart, like, I don't even, like, 15 to 20 in the top 20 to me, it's like, okay, you're decent.
Yeah.
Top five, top four, you're great. 5 to 10, it's like, whatever. And then, like, the 10 to, like, yeah. 12 is like, you're probably, like, you're an upset. Like, I don't know. Like, there's, like, very rarely, like, I don't know. The top 20 in lacrosse is so weird for me.
I see what you're saying. I'm trying to actually pull up the.
Also, really quick, let's just talk when you pull up like the top 20, the Ivy League and stuff. Let's talk about. Did you see this? Did you catch this Siena Manhattan ending?
Oh my God! Yeah, yeah, that was. Were they all in the ladies last and, minute?
Ladies and gentlemen,
yeah,
one of the most absurd comebacks you will ever see in your life. Manhattan's up 10-7 with 50 seconds to go. And Siena came back and scored 4 motherfucking goals in 50 seconds or 48 seconds technically to win the fucking ball game or 44 seconds, whatever the fuck it was. It is. Yeah. 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 I guess it'd be 44 seconds because 8, 9, 10, 11. But holy shit, Nest. Best comeback. It doesn't get better than this, right? I think this is. Cabrini did not have a fucking better comeback.
No, we don't. It's not Cabrini related. This is actually like deep in my lacrosse bag. There was a team, I'll have to find it, in the state championship. I don't think it was Jersey. It might have been Penn. I don't know where the fuck it was. It was probably 5, 6 years ago. They were down by like 4 or 5 goals late. And this kid by himself went on a run similar to this. I think it was a minute 20. And they rattled off like 5 to win it. I'm going to do a deep dive before the episode and get like the exact statistics, but that's exactly what this reminded me of. This being college, you know, I'll probably go with this one, maybe being a little better, but at the same time in a state championship to do something similar to that, that's pretty fucking nuts. I'll get the schools. It's not like Bush League.
I'm somewhat remembering what you're saying. I can't.
Yeah, it was like some legit lacrosse being played, and this kid just went on an absolute tear. So it looks like 4 teams make the Ivy League tournament, and there are 7 Ivy League teams. So obviously Brown and Dartmouth are out. It looks like Harvard might not even make the tournament because they're 1-3. They would need – I'd have to check the schedule – yeah, it looks like it's going to be either Princeton, Harvard, the same overall record, but Princeton has
I know what it was. I got it. It was Ward Melville, wasn't it? I knew I knew it was a Long Island school.
Yeah, so that's legit lacrosse, right, if I'm not mistaken?
Legit. Ward Melville is one of the best programs on Long Island.
Exactly, yeah. It's like one of the craziest things I've – do you have like the article or anything? What does it say happened at the end?
So they were down 9-4.
They were down 9-4.
I got to find this. I'll find the article. I saw the video. Ward Melville insane 5 goal comeback to become New York champs. That is fucking insane.
Nuts, dude. That's the only thing I've ever seen like that Siena shit. And the part like if it was just a normal high school game, I wouldn't probably have remembered it. But for a state championship,
holy shit.
I think like one kid scored like 4 or 5 goals too. Like he was just ripping cheddars.
Oh my God. Dude, this is insane. Pittsford was playing in its first boys lacrosse state championship game. Oh, I think it was Grillo, maybe? I remember that. Okay, this is crazy. I'm going to pull it up for the people. Log into YouTube right now. Stop what you're doing. Log into YouTube. So the top ranked Class A team in the state, now winners of non-state state championships, were down 9-4 with 4:26 remaining when Eddie Munez scored with 1:01 to go. Ward Melville was still down 9-6. We had a 3-goal lead with a minute left, and we panicked, and it hurt us. Pittsford coach Andrew Whipple. There was, dude, that's insane in high school lacrosse with no shot clock.
Insane. They just won. They must have won every faceoff and just got. They won every faceoff and went down and scored.
Yeah. Okay. So like basically the shot, the faceoff actually because they're so dominant the faceoff X, Pittsburgh couldn't chew the clock. Damn, that is fucking crazy. Scored with 34 seconds to go, won the next faceoff, scored with 27 seconds left to go, won another faceoff, and scored the tying goal with 8 ticks on the clock. For good measure, he won the next faceoff with eight seconds to go, won down, almost won the game. They won in overtime. So I think because they didn't win in overtime, this one's a little bit crazier.
Fair. Who's the fucking wow. Yeah. So
good callback to that. Yeah, it rang a bell. For a second, I thought it was Garden City.
That would have been sure nuts.
That would have been sick. We just win. We just destroy, conquer.
Yeah, Garden City City would never come out to Jersey, though.
We legitimately just beat Bridgewater Road. And...
Yeah. Okay. Well, come on through Morris County. I'll set it up with Chatham.
To Chatham?
Bring it to Chatham. Bring it to Cougar Field.
To Chatham? We don't want to get Chatham to work. Come on. Chatham's a good pro. Chatham's good. We'd want to give Summit that smoke.
You can give Summit that smoke. I'm cool with that.
We want to give Summit that smoke. Yeah. Denver, great cover. Great cover. Great cover for Denver. I mean, that's a program altering cover for them, would you say?
For Denver?
You have to think that, like, Joey Spallino, is he a bust? Hard to say after not covering. But Denver, on the opposite hand, like, because of that cover against Georgetown?
Yeah, that's also just huge for the Kristaps Georgetown narrative. You know, I actually saw someone talk about, you know, how far is Georgetown going to go, and it just made me think about that big win at Notre Dame. You know, Duke's put out his thoughts and what he thinks is going to happen, what's happened in the past with Georgetown. So, yeah, I don't know. It's tough for Georgetown. We brought it up last week. They were on, like, a sneaky heater. Maybe not against the best teams in the world, but to rattle off, I think, 7 or 8 in a row is always good. They went, like, a month and a half without losing, maybe 2 months. But,
yeah.
Yeah, that's a huge cover. 1.5 is a dangerous game to play in lacrosse. You just never know if you're going to get that second. So a 10-8 cover, you know, shout out the Denver boys out there.
Skipping over some games we're not really going to talk about, but, like, it happened and we saw it. Maryland beat Rutgers, tuned in and out of that game. Like, that it's crazy that, to me, that we're talking about in 2024, like, that being, like, a meh game for me. Like, one that, like, I'm not all the way locked in on.
Yeah, I mean, Rutgers just hasn't showed up as much as I'd like them to in big games. They have good players. It's just, I don't know. I mean, their goalies played nasty in some games. They have these two young kids who have won, like, Big Ten Players of the Week, like, fucking, like, 7 times. So I don't know why Rutgers isn't just, like, a little bit better. Maybe we've just been a sound asleep on Maryland, and they're just going to fuck us over come tourney time like they do every year and just go on another run.
Yeah, I think obviously, like, Rutgers has Shane Knobloch and Ross Scott. I think Knobloch will be drafted in the PLL. I think Ross Scott will probably be like Charlin Bedis, where, like, the chaos when they're fucking, like, have to sit, like, everyone because of, like, visas or some shit. Like, Ross Scott will get signed. He's been one of my favorite players to watch for Rutgers. It's just crazy to see these names and, like, how dominant they were at one point. But, yeah, that's a game that I watched, saw happened. It happened. Maryland won. Maryland covered. Army, Navy, not much to talk about there. Army won by 5. But the storyline is that was the most attended lacrosse game so far this year. Like, 10,000 somewhat folks came to watch them play. True. That's awesome. Another cover this weekend that I had, that the game did in fact happen, and it was a great time to take a nap. Jacksonville versus Lindenwood. 20-5. Easy cover. I'm telling you, I think Lindenwood is caught, like, fading Lindenwood might be easy pickings at this point.
I'll be honest. I bet on Lindenwood early in the season. They covered, I think, twice for me. I haven't bet on them since, and I know they've been on the wrong end of a lot of covers. So I don't want to sit here and act like Lindenwood's been fucking me over, but I am in your corner, Lindenwood.
That's hilarious that you say that.
What'd you say?
Because that's hilarious you say that, because I've placed two bets against Lindenwood this year.
And
easily. So now in my head, I'm like, oh, easy pickings. So it's so funny that's like opposite for you. Like, yeah, I think it was the last 2 weeks.
I hit them real early. One of their games I bet on them get like an absurd amount of goals, like maybe 12 and a half they covered.
I
beat Jacksonville again. They snubbed me. I'm snubbing them now. You know, if you're a kid of Jacksonville, I don't hate you, but I don't fuck with your team. So it is.
I like Jacksonville a lot. Shout out Galloway.
Yeah, me and Galloway may need to hash this out one day. Maybe you never saw the email, but I just find it hard to believe. Galloway, I used to look up to you, Galloway. You know, like they say, never meet your heroes.
Damn.
I know, it's tough.
You know what? Poor Nestler's like little nephew is going to be hearing these drunk ramblings about Galloway in about 30 years.
Oh, yeah.
Fucking Galloway.
Yeah.
Good me.
Makes you wonder. Galloway answers my email, and I end up in Jacksonville. Maybe Cabrini never goes under. So you just never know.
Maybe Duke never gets upset. Like 2 years ago.
Butterfly effect is tremendous. You know,
Duke misses the tournament. Notre Dame misses the tournament. Yeah. The butterfly effect.
Jacksonville goes.
Then Notre Dame wins the national championship the next year.
Wow. Yeah, it's crazy. I think I'm gonna need to sit down and talk to him. I know he's done a lot for the game of lacrosse, you know, legendary goalie. Just all he had to do was answer my email. He knew the email was coming. I had the inside scoop. He knew I was calling. He's got to answer, man. You can't leave Nest unread. You know, that doesn't sit well with me. I'll be thinking about that until I'm, like Duke said, until I'm 65 years old.
Let's talk about the Sunday games.
Oh, yeah.
Some great games. Let's talk about Duke, Virginia first. Obviously, we're looking at two players that could be considered to be the number one draft picks in the PLL draft. You know, I think that O'Neal's kind of struggled against big time opponents this year in the four top ranked games. Duke wins 18-12 against Virginia. What stood out to you?
What stood out to me was Virginia always didn't play great. We said Noon's his highs really high. It's about controlling your lows. I'm sure he knows that more than anyone. He's a great goalie, but when your low is, you know, not saving the ball and getting yanked, you know, it puts the other goalie in a bad spot, puts your team in a bad spot. I don't think the other goalie played really good for Virginia. I think at one point they said like the Duke goalie had like 7 or 8 saves and Virginia had like 2 when it was like 10-something. So just not a good show from Virginia keepers. I'm sure they'll fix it up. I still love the Cavaliers, fake Cavaliers, real ones are behind me. But no, I think Virginia is going to be okay. I think Duke kind of needed this one to tell everyone like, hey, we're still Duke, you know, Brandon O'Neal, casual 5 points. That Duke team's deep. And when their goalie gets hot, you know, it's hard to score on them. That goalie's good. I believe he's the freshman still balling out there. He's been playing the whole season. So we'll see. But Brandon O'Neal with a big showing in a big game. What about you?
Yeah, I think that you saw the Matthew Nunes effect. I mean, got pulled in the first quarter. And I've been saying Nunes is good. Nunes is flashy. Nunes will make you, like, bite your tongue. But he has these games where he just fucking can't save a beach ball. And Duke's one of his fucking kryptonite, in my opinion. I think he had 7 shots, like, shots faced in the first.
Dude. Sorry to cut you off. Duke's beaten Virginia 18 fucking times in a row in the regular season. And I didn't hear about that once somehow.
Yeah, I knew it's been a while. I didn't know it's 2004. I think like since it's there's some crazy stat that I found. Let me just pull up.
That is fucking go ahead.
Since Virginia last beat Duke in the regular season, they've made 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 Final Fours, and they've won the championship 4 times.
That's fucking insane to me. I wonder how many times they've beaten Duke in the postseason. I know they beat them when they made one of their runs recently. But yeah, sorry to cut you off there. It's just like that came right.
They beat Duke. They beat Duke in the championship last year. They beat Duke. Oh no! Sorry. They beat Duke in the Final Four in 19.
Yeah. I was at that game, maybe at the link.
Virginia, I was too. Virginia, let me see. Virginia versus Duke NCAA tournament lacrosse. Let's see if we can just look that up really quick. Okay, no, I don't think I could find it. And it wasn't just right away. All right. But yeah, I think that like Matthew Nunes got pulled in the first quarter because he had 7 shots faced, didn't save a fucking shot. Lawrence pulls and puts in the redshirt freshman Kyle Morris, who I think will be a good goalie eventually, but you're getting thrown into a game you don't expect to probably see some shots, and you're facing fucking that gauntlet that Duke has, like Brendan O'Neill, and it's like your first real significant playing time in a big time game. So I think he's in an unfair position to actually judge him. So I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. Didn't play great. I mean, if this was any other goalie, I'd probably say like shit. But I don't know. I think coming in cold, not getting like the full like starter warm ups, I think that matters.
Yeah,
I mean, it's a little bit.
He probably hadn't seen a shot in a half hour, if that.
But also the fact that you're going into a nationally ranked game against Duke and you're playing legitimately the World Games MVP. And you're playing all like I just think it's like an unfair position to really judge someone being like they suck or they're good. I don't think a lot of people like that's he was in a position to fail. The only thing he could do is like surprise people, and he didn't surprise anybody. But I'm not going to judge him. I think Shelly's really good. I just think that the goalies at the end of the day dug Virginia too big of a hole.
Yeah, and Virginia fought. I mean, there were points where I was like, oh shit, Virginia is about to catch him. And every time I flip back and forth, I was watching – was that during the Masters?
Yeah.
I was flipping between that and the Masters. It's just – Duke just kept – every time I turned the screen, Duke was, like, celebrating a goal. And I was like, you're not going to catch him that way. But
yeah, Sawada's nasty.
Yeah, dude, that Duke – again, like, I'm scared. I'm not scared because I guess I haven't been, like, anti-Duke. But, like, those that team is so fucking good. And because they haven't been great – it's like, dude, maybe they're just charging up for May. You know, the best teams in the country know that February, March, and April don't mean shit. Legitimately means nothing. All that matters is how you play in May. That's it.
Yeah, and I hope for Duke's sake, as we get into May, that they have one of their best players, Jake Naso. Like, I don't know. I know he went down. I don't know how injured he is. I don't know if he was out for like a majority of the game. But I saw him go down. Hope that he's okay. I don't know if it was minor or whatnot, but hoping the best for him in any case that it is. Because you don't even want, like, even if he's at 80% right now, you want one of the best players on your team to be 100% going into the biggest part of the season.
I hate to circle back on your guy, the attendee from UNC that you know. I don't want to say he's not a PLL goalie. I do think he's really good. I think the run they went on in 22 was awesome. Since then, though, he hasn't been great. I mean, he saved the ball at 48% a clip last year.
But I'm telling you, I think it's like the effect of playing like in front of like a young defense.
All right, fair. Again, like I don't
like it's like you're going from playing as a freshman where you're like you have a championship level team, you have like pro players in front of him, and then you got it like you're a freshman, then you're going to a sophomore where like you don't have to be the leader in that defense as a freshman, and then as a sophomore you've got to like basically be like the guy or like a junior as the guy. So yeah, I think it's like an unfair position to really like judge him. Like
yeah, I mean stats some usually don't lie, but I mean they can tell the wrong story. So I'll take Dukes' word. I haven't watched enough UNC. I haven't done a deep enough dive on him, so I'm not gonna slander name. I hope I see him in the PLL one day, and Dukes can tip his cap and say he was right. So good luck to Colin Creek.
Yeah, I mean he was one of the best goalies in high school and everything. I don't know. I think
where's he from? Is he from Long Island? Do you?
I think he was actually on. He might have been on that Ward Melville. He actually might have been, yeah.
That'd be funny as fuck if he was the goalie in that game.
That actually would be very, very funny. But yeah, shout out to him. All right, getting into the Notre Dame Cornell game. Notre Dame wins a run and gun game, 18-17. Pray for the underbetters. Absolute shout out. I think more teams got to play on Long Island. That, like, it's like you have a bunch of Long Island guys on both these teams. Why not play a neutral site game? Just go to neutral sites where hotbeds are. I think it's the pros' game. Their job is, like, I've seen people being like, come to the West Coast, blah, blah, blah. No. Create the best atmosphere you can. Notre Dame, Cornell, Long Island's a hotbed. Long Island, you recruit the hell out of there. Come play there. Come play in front of the families. Come play in front of the friends. Come make an exciting atmosphere and play in front of the recruits that you're trying to recruit. Like, going to the West Coast, that's the pros' game. The pros' job is to grow the game. College's game is to create the best atmosphere, and they should come to Long Island more because of that. I know they used to do shit at Bethpage all the time, but it was an awesome atmosphere. CJ Kearse is a fucking monster. He's going to be an absurd pro. Absurd. Michael Long, really fucking good. Kelleher had an awesome day back on the island. But, you know, Notre Dame is just really, really fucking good. Really, really good.
Is Cornell the first team this year to really pump Notre Dame, you know, with that many goals? Like, Notre Dame has done such a good job. Even when they lost to Georgetown, I don't think it was that high scoring. To put up 17 on Notre Dame, that's a pretty good feat. We knew Cornell's offense was really good. But again, it's that defense that's just going to butt. They've been in so many shootouts that have been above 15 goals.
Yeah, I think that Notre Dame might have just fallen for Cornell's pace. Like, there was just some easy fucking goals that Cornell was letting up. Like, easy fucking goals. It looked like Cornell didn't know at one point, like, what to do on defense. And I think when you're kind of falling into that, like, pace of an up-and-down game, like, lots of shots, like, I don't know, mentally, like, I don't think Entman had his best game by any means. But when you're kind of going into that pace where you have, like a four-goal lead, like, as a goalie, you're like, all right, like, maybe mentally, like, all right, like, that, like, the next one's, like, you feel more comfortable. So, I don't know. I think they kind of fell into Cornell's pace a little bit, which they shouldn't really want to do.
Yeah, 3 out of 4 losses for Cornell, 1-goal games to top-ranked teams. That's got to sting. But, again, could see them walk in into the Ivy tournament. It's kind of anyone's game there.
Yeah. Let's go to buy, sell. Let's just do a quick buy, sell. Like, if you had to buy something from the weekend, sell something upcoming just in the lacrosse, what are you doing?
I am buying back my Duke stock. I'm back in on Duke. Wasn't like out, just like thought they were underperforming, was just calling it like I saw it. Yeah, I'm back in. I think they're a team that is so dangerous, so scary. If Brendan O'Neill can find his swagger, which I don't think he lost, I think it's just in the room with him. He's just like, hey, like, oh, is it under my pillow? If he can play like that, and even I think he's capable of playing a lot better, Duke's going to be scary because he's surrounded by guys who can finish the rock, move the rock, and rip the shit out of the rock. The defense is legit. Goalie's legit. So give me back my Duke stock. I sold some of it, just a little bit, but I'm buying it right back. I'm back in before it explodes, Dogecoin style. My sell? I knew who I was going to sell. I just forgot. It was – oh, this is an easy sell because I was – all right, I've been selling this stock all year. The Michigan Wolverines, man. I'm selling my Michigan stock. Dude, just off the top of your head, could you guess Michigan's record? They played 12 games.
5-7.
6-6. And you got to – I bring it up every time. That fucking coach put a giant bullseye on their back, and they've been getting – mollywopped by teams, and I just find it hard to believe it's not not a coincidence that, you know, they lost players, they lost really good players, but these teams come in and they just want to beat the shit out of them. Like, if I'm a player, there's nothing that gets me more fired up than a coach that's like talking shit. If it's a player, that's fine. Like, I get that, but a coach talking shit, that's some fucking Stevenson scumbag lacrosse shit. If you're a coach, put your head down, coach the boys, talk when you win. Don't put a target on your player's back. I think that's a scummy move as a coach, trying to, like, be this badass dude where in terms you like you make your team fucking just out to dry all the time. So I sold my Michigan stock. Shout out the boys, they're fighting, but your coach, man, I mean, I don't want to fight you, but you kind of a dickhead for that.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't agree with that. I think that like at some point you got to defend your conference. Like, I don't remember the exact quote. I don't think he should have said it before the Virginia game, but like, I don't think that fucking like Penn State, I don't think anyone in the Big Ten's like would give a fuck what he said. Like, they didn't put a target in his back for the Big Ten players. Like, why would anyone in the Big Ten just like, I think he's a great coach.
I don't think he's a bad coach. I just think he like, I just think it's too much talking. I think it's like an unnecessary quote that maybe it's not even a target on his back, but now it looks even dumber. Where like, I was expecting Michigan when their coach said that to like come out and like bully the fuck out of teams, whatever conference it is. And they've just been getting bullied.
I mean,
and I think that's where I just have an issue with it. Like,
They're getting bullied by teams in their conference more than anything. Like, I never would have thought they would beat Virginia. Never would have thought that they'd beat Notre Dame. Harvard, they lost by two, which I guess I would pick Harvard in that one. It's not like it's really like the most disappointing part of their season has been the Big Ten. Like, the last two losses, Rutgers and Penn State, I think are the like two worst losses. I don't know. I think that like, I think the big, like, I know that he used to be on the Maryland coaching staff when they won some national championships, and you think maybe their first one. And then he went to Michigan. And I know that him and Tillman, like, have some weird bad blood because of that, like, handshake line last year. But,
all right,
I don't know. I don't know. I agree with your take that if you're playing the ACC and you say that was a dumb fucking thing to say, like, he put a target on his back for that Virginia game, 1,000%. That was one of the dumbest fucking things he could have done, and he could have shut his mouth. Now, I disagree with you where it's like, dude, like, imagine, like, you're at Penn State and you're like, oh, yeah, like, he called us a fucking bunch of beasts or something. Like, I'd be like, okay, like, yeah, we are in the Big Ten. Like, I think that the big – like, if you play the Big Ten, you should think the Big Ten's the best conference.
Fair. All right. I think my issue was I'm projecting a little bit of my anger that I have just – it's more – I'm more angry just about – there being a quote and him making it like just saying something of that nature, I think gave me Stevenson lacrosse vibes, and I really hate those motherfuckers, especially that head coach. So I'm going to digress for the second time this episode, seeing it a little clearer. Now I just read the full quote. Yeah, it's not as bad as I thought it was. It's just, I don't love when coaches like talk that right. Like, I'm a big believer in like coaches are supposed to be like the professional, like head down, like just say what you're supposed to say. But at the same time, I guess, you know, if you're a Michigan guy, you probably want to go to war for someone like that. So I apologize for taking some of my Cabrini anger and Stevenson hate towards the Michigan. I'm not going to sell all the Michigan stock, but this weekend I'm selling because they got their shit kicked in. Wasn't even close. Not at all.
Fair. I am buying. My buy sell. I'm buying all the CJ Kerr stock you can absolutely buy. And I know that's like crazy. I don't care if it's selling at fucking like 140. I'm buying it all. He's an absolute beast. He's going to be an absolute terrific PL player, dominant from day one, I think. He's not leaving for the draft this year. I know he's not. But if he was, I think there's a legitimate conversation to be said like for the number two. Like, it wouldn't just be like, oh, you draft him one, who should be two? I think he'd be... you can even throw him in the number one conversation, honestly. He's that fucking good. He's like, he's a grown man, and he's the best curse. Connor, I think he's going to be the best one. I hope there's some like family competition there, but he right now, I've never been so sure that he physically, his shot is just so good. He can do so many different things from X. I think you could even put him outside the box if you really wanted him to. He's a good time and room shooter. He's good on the run. He's good coming around X. Good feeder. Draws so much attention. His physical tools are there. He stuns me. Every single time I come watch him play, he impresses me more and more. I will buy CJ Kerr stock all day, every day.
I love it. Yeah, just for anyone who doesn't know out there, CJ Kerr and I believe some other juniors at Cornell, the year the Ivy got canceled, I think they did not attend that spring, I believe, if my memory serves me correctly in talking to CJ. So he's able to stay at Cornell. It's not like he can't do grad years at the Ivies. So he will be back at Cornell for his fourth year. I know he's excited about it. I'm sure some of his buddies are doing the same. It seemed like it was like a group decision to sit out that year that got kind of canceled so they could keep their eligibility. So it would have been cool to maybe see where he ended up. Don't think we'll be seeing TJ's name even in the portal. Would love to see Cornell make a run one of these next 2 years with him. But if he's in the Torrington conversation this year, maybe even a finalist, that's 2 years in a row going into a senior year. He's the best cursed. I love all the cursed brothers. They'll all say the other one's better than the other. They're the biggest, like, Spider-Man meme, like, pointing at each other. You're the best. You're the best. But I think there's kind of like an understanding that as far as production in college, even in high school, CJ Kirst is the guy. I love him. He's a weapon. Happy you're buying the stock. I bought it when it was $1.50. I'm rich as hell on CJ Kirst stock. But I'm just happy you're in for the long haul now. I know there's not many people we need to turn into believers with Kirst.
Yeah, fair. I agree with you on everything. Now, let's dive in.
You got to sell by any chance? Real quick, you sell?
Oh, fuck. Yes, the Carrier Dome. It's coming to spring. Sell the Dome. You don't want to be playing in a Dome. Like, the Dome is cool for, like, February games. The Dome stinks now. Nobody wants to play in a Dome. Everyone wants to play on the grass fields. I think that the Dome, like, once it comes, it's like, all right, enough of this shit. Like, we get it. Syracuse had shitty weather. Play outside. I hate playing indoors when it gets, like, do you not agree? I think that's, like, the right take.
I've played indoors, obviously, and it sucks because I'm playing in, like a little field. But I've never played in a dome like that. I think it'd be sick to play in it once, twice. I'm sure it's dope for the Cuse guys. But like you said, I mean, lacrosse is a spring sport. Lacrosse is meant to be played in the fucking 70-degree sun, middle of the day. You know, a night game's awesome, but you want to be outside. I'm also sure as a goalie, it probably sucks playing in the dome. I'm sure there's no way that ball's easier to see in the dome than it would be just on like a normal field. So for my goalies out there, I'm sure it sucks. It's cool, but it's not. I'm with you. Get them outside. Let the boys play outside. It's warm enough in fucking upstate New York come April and May. So I'll sell a little dome with you. I'll sell dome.
Yeah, sell dome. I'll buy dome, but I'll sell the Carrier Dome. Now, let's talk Penn State Rutgers. Let's preview the game. That'll pick them. Penn State playing Rutgers. Rutgers plus +4. What's the play?
I think Penn State could give it to them. Seeing how Maryland handled it's +4. You know what? If I'm Ben, I'll bet Rutgers. I can't. I'm in New Jersey. Shout out DraftKings though, but I'll take Rutgers +4. It's at Rutgers. I like a home team dog. I think they'll fight. You know, conference matchup. You know, who knows? Again, I'm gonna look up how the Big Ten conference works. What about you? Who do you like in that?
Yeah, I like Penn State. Rutgers defense hasn't necessarily, like, I don't know. I mean, I'm not even the Rutgers defense. Penn State offense, like TJ Malone, just like really impresses me. So I'll take Penn State. I feel like they've had like some tough fights and they're kind of in fight or flight mode right now. So I'll take Penn State on a Friday night game. And the rest of the Friday night games are like kind of like weird. Like you got like Yale, Albany. I can't see that spread, but like I have Yale. Shout out Brandow. He's been on an absolute tear. Just like has like 7 points per game so far this season. Just having like should definitely be a finalist this year for the Torrington. I don't think he should win it, but I think that he should be a finalist for sure.
What does Yale need to do for him to win it? Like how you said, Edelman, if Notre Dame, you think if Yale makes a Final Four run and he keeps it up,
let me just see.
I mean, his stats are like jump off the table, like appalling.
Okay, like I agree with that, but like shout out to the guy Dave Shamus who like tweeted out his stats in like the last like three games. Let me just BU, good win, but then you got racked up points against like Dartmouth and Hofstra. Now love those love Hofstra. I'm a Hofstra guy, but like we're not like you're not playing like the thick of the Ivy right here, like the thick of your non-conference. So like I wouldn't like brag about like doing it against like a Patriot League team as like your best competition right there.
Fair. I just think I like the Hofstra game, in my opinion, like, yeah, Hofstra is not on that level of some of those Ivy teams, but like it was a close game and he's still like just casually like, I think scoring 9 points against even like the worst team on your schedule is like a, oh shit, like that, even if it was easy, I still think it's like all these Ivy teams.
Do you think Matt Brandau is the best player in the country?
No, but I don't think that's what I don't know necessarily if that's, I just don't think that's what the award
goes
is.
To the most outs. It's not who has the best stats,
but it's also not the best player in the country because that David Sheamus guy, shout out to him. He showed us that it's gone to, I believe in the last 15 years, someone in the Final Four or the finals. And the only outliers I think were the Thompson brothers.
The Towerton Award is an annual award for the most outstanding American college across men's and women's player.
I also don't get the like, what does that mean? Outstanding versus value. I think Jordy said something about outstanding and valuable, and I didn't get it.
It's not valuable.
What's the difference though? Like, is it so?
I would say that if you're talking valuable, you could probably make, this is where we get tricky. You want to talk some vocabs and some defining words? I'd say that Brandau is probably the most valuable player in the country. Like, Yale is not Yale without Brandau. But if you're talking to me, who's the most outstanding? Like, it's like Schellenberger is sharing the ball with elite talent around him. Like, he is causing, like, through rotations, like whipping it to McCabe Millen, who's then whipping it to Griffin Schutz, who splits it off the dodge. And, like, that's technically like getting the defense moving. Like, that doesn't show up on the stat sheet. Like, I think that, like, these teams, like, you got Brennan, Pat, and Shelly, who have to split what's going on offense like so much. Like, I think Kirst has been better than like got better. I think I'd much rather have Kirst win it. Like, do you think Kirst is better than Brandau?
I think Kirst is like you said.
I agree with you. I think he might be the most valuable now that I'm thinking about it.
Yeah, like I think Kirst, Schellenberger, and Brent O'Neill, and maybe even I think Kavanaugh is like this tiniest like of slivers behind those three in my opinion. But I think that next tier is Kavanaugh, and then I think Brandau's right. I think Brandau's a top five offensive player in the country.
I do too.
And I think if you put Brandau, like you said, like if you put Brandau on an offense with McCabe Millen and the midfielders that Virginia has,
I agree.
Or a team like Duke, like I think he's still gonna blow up the stat sheet. But like you see teams like when these teams, like when Virginia plays a team that's not great, you know, if Schellenberger did go out and get 8 points, and we tipped our cap to him there. I just think every team plays shitty teams. You can't like – I don't like the narrative like, oh, well, he scored these points against all these other teams. It's like, well, he's still going off against the good teams. Like, I just want to try to get a – let's see some of his big games. All right, so 3 points against Penn State, 5 against Denver, 7 against Cornell, 8 points against Harvard. Like, those are – to score 8 and 7
– Yes.
Cornell's defense isn't great. But Harvard, then that was when Harvard was playing really fucking well. They still are, but I just think
it's just tough for me to like. He doesn't do anything better than the top three guys to me. Nothing. And I know it's like it's tough vocabulary. I think that we're splitting hairs here. I think he deserves to be in the top four finalists. I don't think he should win.
And then I just have a question about
he is robbing that. Then like you're giving like there's nothing. If you put him on Virginia, Virginia is not better. If you put Connor Schellenberger on Yale, they're probably better.
Do you really think so? Like how much?
Yes.
Like, I think Schellenberger is better than Brandau. But I think like that's where I don't understand, though. Like I'm judging that based off of like my eyes. And like what I know about lacrosse, is that how the awards like if stats don't matter or don't drive the award, then like I just feel like it's kind of okay. Well, if you're not on one of the top, if you're not the best player,
yeah, I agree. It's the most outstanding player. It's not the best stats award.
I know, but I don't get the word out. That's where I'm so confused.
Like if it should have went. It should have went to Kavanaugh last year. I mean, it is. It's just whoever makes the Final Four in the championship. Like you have to be the most outstanding. You have to be the most outstanding player on like a top four team in the country. Like that's why I said if he makes the Final Four without like Leo Johnson and I think it's Bragg that's out.
Lions.
They'll be like I think there's definitely a conversation to be made.
All right, fair. I just the way we talk about the Tawaradon reminds me a little bit of like you know the NFL MVP and NFL Offensive Player of the Year. It's like I feel like it's not an open discussion to everyone. It's like your team has to be good, which I don't necessarily think is fair. If your team sucks and you're a fucking nobody on fucking the bottom 30 teams in the country and you're putting up, you know, 7 points a game, yeah, you probably don't deserve to win it. But as far as being on one of the Ivies where we talk about the Ivies are pretty fucking good this year, I just and then outside of the Ivy League, they play a pretty decent schedule. I just think he's at least not getting the recognition. He hasn't been talked about the way I think he should be. The most I've heard about him is from that guy on Twitter who tweets as, he's diehard Yale, but I love him riding for his guys. But I don't see Brandao anywhere besides like a couple player of the weeks. Like there's no talk about him being.
I think he has outlier scores. Like you like looking at the full like sheet, like yes, a lot of his games are just compare. Like I don't think Brandao should win it this year, just for the record. I think it should be cursed. As a finalist, I think he should be cursed. I think he should be Brandao. I think he should be Shelley.
Can I just say one thing to you? I agree with you. In three games against Harvard, Cornell, and Penn, he scored 29 points against Harvard, Cornell, and Penn.
Insane.
That's to me is like. Like, I'm not confident that Schellenberger can do that. I think Schellenberger's better.
But see, that's where I don't like Shelley doesn't need the ball as much as his stick as Brandao does for the Yale offense.
That's fair. Yeah, I guess I see what you're
like,
saying.
Exactly. Like Shelley, like just by him having the ball, he causes so much attention that when he beats his defender, swings it, like it gives the third guy in that passing attack, like the shot or the assist or whatever. Like he might not get, like I believe in hockey assists. I believe that people like that get the offense humming don't get enough credit for like how good they are on offense. Like Brandao is very good and he'll be the steal. Like he'll be a steal in the draft where he comes in right away. He's good. It's like, oh, really? The really good college lacrosse player is good in the PLL. Like, yeah, no shit. But I do think that like I've gotten mad about this since high school with people that like I don't think that people that start the offense get enough credit for how good they are just because the stats don't show up on the paper.
That's fair. Again, that's why I think I do think Schellenberger is like one or two. Like I think it's him and O'Neal and Kurtz. It's really hard to say, but I do agree that Schellenberger does a lot more than the stat sheet shows. Does Brandon O'Neal get that same tip of the cap as Schellenberger? Does he drive the offense like that? Or is he more of like when he's not producing, he's not producing? Sure. I think Schellenberger for my money, it's hard to not say fucking O'Neal, but like.
No, I think I'm a Shelley guy. I think if you want to talk that, we can talk that. Like, I meant to bring it up in the Duke Virginia game, but like, if you have the number one pick, if I'm Denver, I'm taking Connor Schellenberger.
I think he brings more to a little bit more to the offense as far as passing is concerned than O'Neal.
And you but look at I what like you. You have to look at what Denver. You have to look at what Denver has too. Like I think that like with Sudan, when they're very good, they have like he has like someone like Brendan Nickturn, who like you know now is like the Army and like he has an elite ex attackman. They traded away Morrill. Like I think that Connor Schellenberger comes in and takes over that ex attack spot, and he's playing like with Wisnowskis. Like they're just dominant from the get go. And you know you can put Shelley anywhere in the fucking field, and you can with Brennan too. Like he showed that in the World Games, but I just think that Connor has a more extensive skill set, where Brennan has more extensive physical traits. You're drafting a physical specimen,
yeah,
I just think maybe it's – I think at the end of the day, it goes down to fit.
I think it's going to be – I think it's just going to be O'Neal. I think it's almost like he – because he – like you said, he's so physically more dominant and, like, gifted as far as sizes. Like, so it's going to be hard for them to leave him on the table. But, I mean, if you're the one or two, whoever's got this – I don't know who has the second pick. I mean, you got you're kind of in a win-win. You're going to get one of those two guys, and they are, like, world-class players. So it'll be fun. I mean, it's like a – it's almost like an impossible argument to, like, argue. Because when you argue for one guy, you're arguing against, like, just someone – the only other guy in the world who's at that same level as them.
It's hard for me to really, like, nail it and see who they're going to get. Because, like, you look at their attack right now.
They got Cross.
They got Deeso – who I would think would come in as the – they might be looking at him as, like, the ex-attackman, maybe somebody out of the box. You got Cross. You got Dylan Gregar. And you got Logan Wisnowskis on the left. Like, it wouldn't make sense to me for you to get Brennan if you have Logan. And I know, like you're just like, it's at the end of the day, when you draft, you should draft the best player available, like who you think is, and worry about everything later. But I don't know. I just think that, like, in the PLL, like, it's not like there's that big of a drop off, in my opinion, from Connor to Brennan.
I agree.
I just think the needs. It would be interesting then to see, like, what they do on their right hand side, but I don't know. Maybe.
I mean, fucking.
Maybe they just have two lefties. Maybe they just have two left. I don't know.
I mean, you can also just have. You can potentially bump one of the lefties to X and then run, like you said, run the.
Yeah, but like it doesn't seem like – I think you need a distributor back there. And it's not like Brennan or Logan's game is really like an on-ball attacker. Like, I mean, Brennan's is, but like not like a distributor. Like, Brennan's looking to go.
Yeah, that's fair.
I think one of the things Brennan actually is like one thing he's not good at is really like passing after like drawing the slide.
Yeah, and I think that's what Schellenberger – like, Schellenberger's ability to dish is, like, insane, and that's what I love a good disher. Like, don't get me wrong, a scorer like Brandon O'Neal who, like, bullies people and, like, can legitimately shoot a ball, like, through a goalie's fucking lacrosse stick, it's sick, and he's a world-class player. But just, like, I think a more complete player is Schellenberger in a way. So,
I agree. We'll
It'd be cool to see Schellenberger go first. I think that would shock a lot of people. Maybe not you, because you're looking at it a little deeper than most people probably would. I think the average lacrosse fan would be like, what the fuck, Brandon O'Neal didn't go first? Like, I thought he was a lock.
I think the last time people have been shocked before. I think that when Logan went first, people were kind of shocked. But let's just dive into the rest of these games. We're over the hour mark, so let's just close this up. North Carolina, Notre Dame minus six. What's the play?
I'll take so many goals, man. But fuck, I'll take Notre Dame. I don't know. I'll take Notre Dame just to ride with them. North Carolina's probably going to find a way to cover like they did last week. So that's a tough one. 6.5 is a lot of goals. I think Notre Dame's going to handle them. But – you know, you got to win by 7 to cover, so that's a lot. What about you?
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I'm going to take Notre Dame. I have to. I mean, I just legitimately have to. like, there's just – I can't say, like, I wanted to say North Carolina plus 6. It just couldn't come out of my mouth. Providence plus 5.5.
Providence, love riding with the Friar boys. Those guys
fired up.
Yeah, we're Friar guys on this podcast. Dukes way more than myself, but you know I'm on the back of that train, sort of waving to the guys in the front. So shout out the Friars there. Be cool to see them keep building something special.
Nova Marquette plus 3.
Give me Nova again. Fuck you guys, bought my school, but you'll cover. Marquette's window. I think they had a chance to be like pretty good. I think it's kind of closing on them.
Yeah, Marquette, once Amplo left, they're still trying to figure things out in Milwaukee. Since Amplo left, Nova's faceoff guy, Coppola, GC product, shout out Justin, went down. Nova's kind of struggled from the X since he went down. Nova's talent is like, they're not great, when it's compared to like the rest of like the country, but they're way better than St. John's and Marquette. Like the bottom of the Big East, like Marquette and St. John's are just like not very good in my opinion. I'll take Villanova -3. They might struggle to get possessions. I don't think Villanova is very good this year, but I do think they're good enough to get this cover. I'll take Villanova -3.
I'm with you. We're riding so far, Dukes.
Maryland Hopkins rivalry game. Hop -1.5.
Give me the Hop. Oh, it's at Hop. Yeah, give me the Hop. I hate that it's -1.5. I just want for once in my fucking life, I want a lacrosse line to be a natural pick 'em. It just never happens. I never get to get like a all right, one team's going to win, one team's going to lose, pick a side. You always have to give that extra goal. As the sport grows, hopefully we'll get more of those. But I'm going to take -1.5. I would love for this game to be just a pick 'em. -0.5. It is what it is, but I'll take the 1.5. That's a dangerous game, though. I could see it being a one-goal game, and I'm just fucking pissed on Saturday.
I hope you're right, because my play of the weekend is Maryland +1.5.
Play of the weekend, dude.
Play of the weekend. Play of the weekend.
All right. All right. I'm the Tillman train. I respect it.
Penn, Princeton. Princeton -1.5. Princeton hoping for a rebound. Bounce back game. What's the play here?
I think Penn's good. They've been fighting. I bet against them a couple times. Hasn't worked. I bet with them and it worked. I'll take Penn +1.5. Maybe even that could be my money line. Probably good value there. Probably plus like 140 or something. So we'll see. I will have to go to New York to bet that though. Shout out DraftKings.
Last game we'll talk about Michigan, Ohio State. Ohio State -1.5. Guessing cool. You're going to take Ohio State -1.5.
I kind of been like dogging both these teams. I talked a lot of shit on Michigan. Was a little too mean.
Oh, Ohio State was easy, by the way.
Yeah, I feel like a fucking idiot. Yeah. You were on that. You kind of like it was like we were reviewing the games. It was just like the Dukes is a winner segment. It should be called. Like you were just like, yeah, covered this game, covered that game, covered this one.
Well, I feel like that was the first weekend really like sat down. Gambled my ass off on like 8 games, I always give out picks on here because it's just like part of like white dude talking lacrosse on a podcast. You have to talk some shit, but like really locking in and watching was like that was my first time, and I think the Cuse game hurt, and the other one on Saturday hurt. But overall, it wasn't that bad. Harvard. Yeah, but besides that, overall it was good.
Yeah, I mean, you were hot.
Thanks.
So,
thanks.
So, yeah, shout out Dukes for last weekend. Hopefully this weekend goes a little bit better for Nest. We will see.
Starts with Ohio State.
Yeah, I didn't even make a pick. I still don't fucking know who I don't know. I'm just going to plead the fifth on that one. I don't like that game. I've kind of talked about both teams. So, we'll see.
All right, you got anything else, Curse of the Week?
No, I'm gonna put out a video for Curse of the Week. I want to do a deeper dive, make sure, you know, the committee's still in talks about who it should be. Don't want to just do a gimmick, you know, at the end and have it not be worthwhile. So I'll put out a video, a little separate video, probably outdoors, the outdoor Curse of the Week. But I'm excited. Like I said in the beginning of the episode, this is when lacrosse gets fun. Just while I got you. We're going to have to do a deep dive one day on Cabrini's conference. They're approaching 24 years without a loss in their conference.
Cabrini,
they hold the longest. I have to do a deeper dive, but I believe the longest streak of any sport in any conference of continuous wins. They won today 29-1. The teams they're playing aren't great. You know, they're still playing lacrosse. Shout out those boys, but yeah, there needs to be a deep dive one day on Cabrini's conference dominance. It's not something crazy where they're the most dominant team in the world. It's just they're in a conference with teams that aren't great. You know, if you're listening to this podcast, you're one of those teams, I apologize. But
like who? Who's in it? Is Catholic?
No. Catholic's not it. Catholic would have probably –
Dude, these schools are made up.
Yeah, are you looking?
Like Gwynedd Mercy?
Yeah.
Marymount?
Yeah, we'd come out.
Newman? Newman?
Yeah, you shake their hands.
Haywood?
Shout out Newman. That's where Chase Frazier, however you say it, that's where he went.
Did he light you up? Did he light you up?
He scored a goal on me, Dukes, from like 30 yards out, and it was a fucking laser.
Did he just go? Like, what's the story there?
I think he bounced around. I followed him on Instagram for a while. I think I actually did a deep scroll on his Instagram once, and it looked like he might have bounced around colleges a little bit, and then ended up at Newman.
You Instagram stalked him?
Yeah. Did a deep. Yeah, it was a. I mean, I see
like
him.
Like a girl you hooked up with at the Jersey Shore. You just insta stalked.
Yeah, he scores these goals in the NLL that are like legitimately like number one SportsCenter plays. I'm like, dude, this motherfucker played on Newman, who we would legitimately beat 26-2. And like he'd score two goals that were like just piss miss. Like he had one highlight goal against us that was like he broke some kid's ankles, one of our like really good defensemen, and just laser. It was like the most disrespectful goal someone ever scored on me. It hurt so bad. Like we were never gonna lose, but I was like, dude, I just got so bad by this kid. And like I think we knew he was going. I think he might have been drafted at that point into one of the leagues, or like we just knew he was really fucking good for no reason. And he's had a. Dude, he's had a really good pro career. He won a PLL championship.
He's really good.
He won an NLL championship with I think the Bandits won it last year, maybe.
So yeah, I think he's really good.
Some of the fans for the NLL can be pesky pricks, but I do like the league. It's good lacrosse. A lot of similarities to the field game. So, but yeah, we'll do a deep dive one day on that conference. It's pretty remarkable.
I don't think we have to. I think we get it.
No, we need to do. I want to run the numbers. It's like
we can run the numbers. We can run the numbers. I thought you meant like Cabrini's dominance. Like I'm reading it. Like you can look this up. Like you're right. Like the scores are 29-1.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. Like it's and I wasn't
shout worried. Out to everybody that's still playing the game at this point. Like if you're playing the game going to these schools, like tip my cap. Like
yeah, we played a team once, Dukes, in 2017. They went on a 67 game losing streak from 2017. Yeah. Until this year. Shout out Keystone College. Back on the map. They got a win this year. Imagine having a lacrosse program with 67 straight losses. 67? Not just to us. To every fucking team they played.
Are you guys going to make the tournament?
Yeah. So that's the selling point at Cabrini. You always make the tournament because you roll your conference. So Cabrini will be there round one of the tourney. Would love to see him punch a team in the mouth. I double, triple dog dare someone to sleep on Cabrini because you will get fucked. I'll be there loud and proud. Love the Cabrini boys. I'm going to be triple, quadruple crying the amount Dukes was crying when Dayton won their first round game. Again, those are passionate tears, real men tears. If you love something that much, it'll make you cry tears of joy or tears of sadness. I will be doing both no matter what. Guaranteed. The most I probably –
Lynchburg shit pumped you guys this year.
Who did?
Lynchburg.
Shit on us. I know. Lynchburg's had Cabrini's number the last few years. My recruiting class was 4-0 against Lynchburg. When I went back, I got smoked by them. And they still give shit for it. I mean, Lynchburg's good. But that's not – I don't know if Lynchburg's a Final Four team. So that's what worries me about Cabrini going into the tourney. But I'm ride or die for these guys. I think they can give anyone a fight. We'll know when Salisbury comes into town – that'll be the final test. That'll be the last big battle. That's next weekend. If you go to Salisbury, fuck you. And, fuck all your national championships. It is what it is.
Undefeated, too. I think Salisbury has, like, a two-year winning streak going on right now.
Yeah.
I've always been a Cross for our guy.
No. What the fuck? Is he a Long Island guy?
No.
Good. Well, then you don't know. You're out on this. One thing about Cross, nice guy on the field, surprisingly nice. But fuck him. He scored so many goals on me. He scored a game winner on me in overtime. I don't fuck with that. He ended my career. And he bitch made me. I have no problem saying it. I mean, he had my number. But again, I'm gonna get his. Maybe a goalie challenge with Cross one day. Who knows? Maybe I'll get my redemption.
Do it. Well, both will. All right. That's all we got. Follow us on all the socials at the Crease Dive, Dukes Nest. That's all we really have. Thank you guys for tuning in for some reason. peace and love to your health. Thanks for tuning in, guys.
Love you guys.